Hello and welcome to another reflection from Streatham Vale Baptist Church. And we're continuing in our series of looking at the characteristics of God. And this week we're thinking about the holiness of God. And so it's appropriate that we begin our reflection with a prayer as we worship the Holy Lord Almighty, who is exalted and seated on high. O God, you are holy, and we still ourselves as we come into your presence, as our being meets with your being. Your holiness embraces us, surrounding us with your love, and you speak, calling out our names. You wait for us to come to you with our heads bowed in shame because of the times that we have failed others, failed ourselves, failed you. Touch us tenderly, Lord, with your mercy and forgiveness. Wash us and purify us. Make us clean. As we come before you, you begin to make us holy with your holiness, to make us loving with your love, to make us hopeful with your hope. We breathe in the new life that you offer us. We listen as you call us to be still, to be centered, to be whole, to be holy. Make us holy. We dedicate our lives to you, Lord. Dwell in us as in a holy temple, that we may know stillness and that we may sense your holy presence and bring your presence with us to a world that needs to know you. In the name of our holy, almighty God, we pray. Amen. Isaiah 6, verses 1 to 7, have a small snatch, a glimpse of what God's holiness is like. So let me read this as we listen to the holiness that God demonstrates. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him were seraphim, each with six wings. With two wings they covered their faces, with two they covered their feet, and with two they were flying. And they were calling to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory." At the sound of their voices, the doorposts and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. "Woe to me," I cried, "I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the Lord Almighty." Then one of the seraphim flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar. With it he touched my mouth and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." So as I said, we are focusing on holiness. But it's a bit of a strange word. So what does the word holy actually mean? One of the understandings of this term is separate, distinct, set apart. A second but related sense of the term is to be ethically perfect, free from corruption, to be pure and without any sin or blemish. The two terms are related, as to be free from sin is to be set apart from the rest of creation, which has all been tainted by sin. But what does it mean to talk about God as holy? When using the term holy to speak of God, we are using both senses of the word, as God is as unique and set apart from things in the world as possible. In 1 Samuel 2, it says, "There is no one holy like the Lord. There is no one beside you. There is no rock like our God." God's holiness is so far beyond anything that we can imagine. In Isaiah's vision, Isaiah sees the Lord high and exalted, seated on a throne, and the train of his robe filled the temple. God is high and exalted. He is set apart from the world and he's lifted high. He's so transcendent that the seraphim cover their eyes and feet with their wings. God is so holy and other that even these heavenly beings cannot gaze upon him. They cover their eyes with their wings. And the covering of their feet seems to link to an ancient Eastern custom in which people would cover their lower bodies if they were meeting with a king. So once more symbolising that God's holy kingship is over the whole universe and it's beyond anything we can imagine. God's holiness is so amazing that we cannot even begin to fathom. God isn't described in this passage as his majesty and his holiness is too great. He is so other to what we know that he cannot adequately be put into words because our words are not enough to describe him. God is holy because he is unique, set apart. But the holiness of God also refers to his moral excellence. In Habakkuk 1, Habakkuk speaks of the holiness of God, saying, "Your eyes are too pure to look on evil. You cannot tolerate wrongdoing." God's perfection is also present in this passage in Isaiah, as when Isaiah looks at God, he is overwhelmed by God's goodness and perfection. He immediately becomes deeply ashamed at his own imperfections. God's holiness is in stark contrast with our sinfulness and imperfection. So that's what it means to say God is holy. But what does this mean for us? God's holiness demonstrates how unique God is and how perfect. And it's important for us to remember because these things affect the way that we respond to him. The uniqueness of God is important for us to think about because I think we all find it too easy to think of God like a human with many of the same weaknesses and limitations. We try to put God in a box of our own invention. Perhaps we make God too small, or we make him fluffy or distant or too busy. We think about what is important and significant in our lives and and to us, and we assume that God only cares about those things, and so anything outside of those things God wouldn't be interested in. Or perhaps we think that God shows partiality and therefore wouldn't want to know about someone or something. There are so many different ways that we allow ourselves to misrepresent God, and much of this is because we forget that God is holy, unique and different from ourselves. God is so much higher than us. God tells us, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." God's uniqueness makes him God. When Isaiah saw the vision of God, he was overwhelmed by the holiness of God. The whole vision must have been shocking, as he saw things that he would never have imagined. The presence of God was so great that the train of his robe filled the temple. And this is a picture that describes the enormity and immenseness of God. It's one more demonstration that God's holiness is beyond compare. And therefore, this affects our response to him, because our response should be one of utter respect and total wonder. He deserves us to come to him with awe and reverence. There is no one like our God. Do we give him the proper respect that he is due? God's holiness is displayed in his uniqueness, and his holiness is also displayed in his perfection. Isaiah's reaction to God is such a powerful display that demonstrates the contrast between God's perfection and human inadequacy. Isaiah cried out, "Woe to me, I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." He cries out in distress and shame, declaring himself unworthy to be in the presence of God and to have set eyes on the Lord Almighty. Being in the holy presence of God magnified the sinfulness of Isaiah. Imagine, for example, if you had dressed to do some messy work in the garden. So you're wearing old, stained, casual clothing because you don't want to ruin any of your nice, good clothes. Now imagine that into this picture, someone suddenly shows up with a limousine and they usher you into the limo, and there's no time for you to change, there's no time for you to even breathe. You're just packed into the limo and driven off, and you're escorted to Buckingham Palace to stand before the Queen. Your filthy work clothes looked messy, but could be overlooked while you were working in the garden, because you kind of blend in with the surroundings. That's, you know, everyone was working in the garden in the same sorts of clothes. But now, standing before the Queen, you are completely ill-dressed and feel shame at the clothing that you're standing in. So now magnify this scene by 100, and you might have a glimpse of what Isaiah probably felt like. When we have our eyes fixed on earth and do not stop to think about God, our dirty clothing seems to fit in with the surroundings, and so we might think that there's nothing wrong with them. However, when we stop to realise that we're in the presence of our holy God, we realise that the rags we're wearing are disgraceful. Unfortunately, we have a tendency to get complacent and comfortable with our sinfulness. When we don't remember the holiness of God, we follow along with the things of the world and do not even realise the mess we are making. And yet, when we see the holiness of God, it causes us to bow before him in repentance and regret, because he is perfect, good, blameless. And it makes us realise how we are not those things. Thinking about God's uniqueness and his perfection and his holiness, it might make God seem so holy that he becomes unapproachable and distant, unable to connect with this broken world. However, the absolutely mind-blowing truth is that God makes us holy. Even as Isaiah stood crying out because he wasn't worthy to be in God's presence, we are told a seraphim flew over to him with a live coal in his hand and touched Isaiah's mouth with the coal and said, "See, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for." God cleansed and purified Isaiah, removing his guilt and sin from him and making him clean and able to stand in God's presence. And this wonderful cleansing is offered to us too. Unlike Isaiah, we don't need to be touched on the lips with a burning coal, because Jesus Christ has taken our place, has taken all our guilt, our imperfection and wrongdoing, and died for us so that we could be clean. Jesus' death and resurrection means that, like Isaiah, we can also stand before God and be in his holy presence. We are being made holy because Jesus died and rose to life again. In 1 Peter 1, it tells us, "But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, 'Be holy because I am holy.' Since you call on a Father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. Because of Jesus, God says to us, 'Your guilt is taken away and your sin atoned for.'" This is the most amazing news ever, because it means we are invited into God's family and reunited with him. The chasm that was created between us and God because of sin has been healed through Jesus Christ, and we are called back into union with God himself. This certainly gives us cause to celebrate and worship our God, the Holy One. So let's pray. O Holy God, like Isaiah the prophet, we stand in awe of your glory, feeling tremendously small and polluted by our sin and the sin of our society. And even so, you touch us with your burning presence, and we are made clean and whole. O God, our Creator, continue to build your church, this household of faith, into what you want us to be. O Christ, our Saviour, lead us to do as you will. O Spirit, our power, strengthen us for the work of the kingdom. A worship and a service which is ours today as well as tomorrow. O blessed Trinity, fill this place, fill these people with your presence, for yours is the power and the salvation and the creation, now and always. Amen. Amen.